What's up, Bumbles? I hope you're doing okay out there. I think it's been like just over a month or four or five audios since we did a Q&A. So I thought that I would sit down and reply to some of your comments and your questions yet again. Not gonna lie, I love doing these Q&As. I think it's a lot of fun and it's kind of something different. And I know that a few of you actually subscribe on Patreon just to hear these Q&As. So I think that we're gonna keep doing them, and thank you for being here. So let's get started. Kermia says, "Oh my god, I'm sorry your channel got demonetized, but we got you over here on Patreon." Thank you. Yes, there has been this crazy outpouring of support on Patreon, and it's amazing. Like, I don't even know what to say. Thank you so much. We actually passed this goal that I set like 2 years ago when I first started. I saw that some of the, you know, the bigger channels out there were at like 4,000. And I thought, wow, if I can ever get to 4,000, that would be really, really cool. But I never thought that we would actually get there. So when I saw that we passed 4K, I had no idea what to do. I sat down on my bed. I was like, I don't know how to respond to this situation. This is so amazing. So thank you. Eunice says, "I'm not even a native speaker, but we are demanding more K speaking Mandarin." I don't know what you want me to say. I'm really self-conscious of my pronunciation, which is why I feel like I can never improve at Mandarin, because the tones are really, really important. And some of the tones I just can't get my head around, like the dip versus the up, is just really, really difficult for me. Isabel says, "K is so cute naming that audio Q&A rar." That rar was actually out of frustration. I can't remember what the problem was, but I had to export the file like a billion times, and I was just totally done with it at that point, so... yeah, rawr. Anna Mason says, "I'm Hufflepuff, and in my opinion, the most cruel, worst character in the Harry Potter series is not Voldemort, but Dolores Umbridge." That is actually really interesting, because I think you're right, and I think that most people would agree. There's something to be said about that too. Like, I would love to see a paper on why that is. I mean, Voldemort is like, he's the bad guy, but he's also clearly the result of a troubled youth and misguided ambition for all wizards, right? But at least he's like, "I'm Voldemort. I'm a bad guy. I'm the snake," right? Dolores is like that horrible everyday tyrant that just makes people's lives miserable for her own joy. So I think we can all hate on Dolores Umbridge. Anyways, I know that's a long response for a simple comment, but I swear that I could write on this topic for ages why Voldemort is actually better than Dolores Umbridge. Noella says, "Oh my god, yes, I got so excited when I heard the question about Harry Potter. I'm a Slytherin too, and I'm happy to hear someone finally seeing the good, or the real good side of the house." Totally. I mean, every group of friends or team or business or whatever needs that person, needs a dick on their team. Someone that can just be like that sometimes and win at all costs, and I guess that's what us Slytherin are. Musical Chart 8 asks, "What is the most nerdy thing you've done as a form of escapism?" I know you're a D&D guy. Mine is through cosplay or watching anime. Cool. So lately I haven't been able to play any D&D, but I do sometimes watch Critical Role or Crit Crab. So if you haven't watched either of those, they are on YouTube and they are really, really good. As for anime, lately I have been watching Hunter x Hunter, and I've been playing some Genshin Impact, which is pretty good. I actually try and keep my nerdy escapism tendencies down a bit, because when I was younger, like a lot younger, my tendency to get into escapism was not always healthy. Like, I had a pretty troubled childhood, and I spent a lot of time reading books. And of course, reading is good, but when you become just like a withdrawn, really quiet person because you're always reading, that's not good. Musical chart 8 says, ah, I see you sleep in a cold room. So when you're with a girl, she has no choice but to snuggle up to you to stay warm. I see what you're doing there, mister. Yeah, you caught me. I'm a genius mastermind at tricking people into snuggling. Actually, all my past partners have commented that the room is too cold. But I've heard that this is a pretty common, universally... that I don't know, it just happens a lot between guys and girls. Like, workplaces are fine-tuned for guys to stay cold, but it's a little too cold for the average female. And I thought that was a really interesting topic. Gina says, every audio K calls me a basic bitch in some way. And this is one from my Hogwarts house. Which is right, but please. I'm sorry, Gina, I don't mean it like that. I mean, I'm just saying that I'm the weird one, okay? If you like Gryffindor and pumpkin spice lattes and missionary position, that is totally okay. I feel like I'm being an asshole right now. Okay, I'm sorry, Gina. Let it be known that Gina is the best ever. And Gryffindor is amazing. And pumpkin spice lattes are amazing. And whatever I said previously, I take it back. I, Aries, asks, have you ever been with someone and later found out that they were cheating on someone with you? Also, Aries is a Diablo player, which is amazing. I totally burned out this season on Diablo. I didn't get on the leaderboard or anything. But yeah, D4 and D2 remaster look really, really good. Okay, so as for your question, yes. It has happened to me twice where I was with a girl and I found out that she already had a boyfriend. And it really, really sucked. And I'm sorry that that happened to you because it feels bad. It just, like you think you have a good thing going and it just messes everything up. And I hope that it doesn't scare you off dating entirely because there are a lot of really good, you know, not scandalous people out there. In my situation, both people confessed after we had been together a few times that they were in a relationship already. And in the first case, I was basically in love with her and their relationship was already really dysfunctional. And I gave her this ultimatum that she would have to, you know, end it with him or end it with me. Like she would have to choose. We're not going to play that game. So yeah, it has happened, and it is definitely something that I want to stay far away from. Like, I'm not interested in being a homebreaker or anything like that, and life is way too short for that kind of drama, so yeah, not cool. Kelsey says, by the way, I'm wondering what clothing you like girls wearing now, as you've mentioned you hated some of the fashion trends in recent years. Okay, so I know this is a really big topic, and I thought about it some more. And some of the fashion trends I'm okay with. Like, I don't hate them, but to be honest, I'm not paying much attention to what girls wear. And also, eventually, you get used to what's normal. Like, when I was in Germany, at first I saw all these girls wearing high leather boots and jeans, and they were mostly all tall and blonder. And that was super different for me. And at first, I was not totally into it. But after a few months there, I was like, yeah, this is a really hot look. Then when I first went to Taiwan, all the girls were wearing t-shirts and shorts and flip-flops and riding scooters. And I was like, this is not prime sexiness right here. But after a few months, I was not only dressing like a Taiwanese person, but I was totally into the girl's style there. So I guess it changes, right? You just get used to it. I will say that one fashion trend that I find particularly sexy right now is the like plaid beige skirts that people are starting to wear around where I am. And I think that they're really hot. In the same vein of questioning, Y asks, does that mean you only like tight girly things on girls? No, definitely not. In fact, I've dated girls that would punch me if they ever heard me say that. Look, I think you should just do you. You know, dress how you're comfortable with what looks good on you. And more importantly, wear what you like. That's it. That's all. I'm never embarrassed to be by my girl. No matter what she wears, I will hold her hand and I will kiss her and be proud of her no matter what. So, yeah, just wear whatever you like. Okay, also, I want to take a moment to address the fact that I had no idea there were so many Mandarin speakers that subbed to this Patreon. Like, there are so many of you. And it really warms my heart. Because I spend so much time in Taiwan. And politics aside, I feel like part of me is Taiwanese now. And I don't know, it just makes me really happy that there are so many of you out there, so many Mandarin speakers. I still do things every day that I adopted culturally from my time living there, like wearing flip-flops inside, leaving my shoes outside. I've got chopsticks at home. I don't know, like so many things changed after I lived there for a while. So yeah. Kazmina says, most guys know what their cum tastes like. Kay, did you just spill a man secret? Because that is news to me. I mean, I don't actually know. I'm just guessing. Like, I'm definitely gonna gross some people out here. So if you're squeamish, just totally skip this section. But come on, if you're jerking off and you haven't jerked off for like a week, who hasn't exploded everywhere accidentally? And I mean everywhere. Like, by the time you're an adult, there's probably some circumstance in your life where you have a pretty good idea of what your cum is like. That's all I'm saying. Miss T asks, at what point in a relationship do you think you truly let your guard down? And are you most vulnerable with that person? That is such a tough question. I'm just gonna be real with you guys. And I think this applies to a lot of guys and maybe girls too. I don't really know. But when you first start dating and you're being sexually active, a lot of guys are really sensitive and needy and open, and they are willing to be vulnerable. I mean, some guys are players right off the start, but not all. In fact, I would say like the majority of them are not. But after you've had like 5 or 10 or 15 partners or whatever, I think that you get better at the physical stuff, but you start to learn to hide that vulnerable part of you that can get hurt. So I think as you get older, it becomes more difficult to become vulnerable with somebody else. For me personally, I think I become more comfortable and more vulnerable with a person after something really bad has happened, or if I'm like really hurt in front of someone, then the facade is over, right? Like I've had a relationship with a coworker where we were really aloof with each other, and then something really bad happened and she actually walked in on me crying, which is funny because I never cry. Like I can count on my hands the amount of times that I've cried. I really don't cry. And after that, it was like, there's no way that I could be aloof around her because she had seen me at my weakest point. So yeah, hopefully you can find somebody that you can be honest and trusting and vulnerable around like really, really quickly in the relationship. But for me, it takes a little bit of time for sure. Miss T also asks, what makes you happiest in a relationship and what drains you the most? I like those moments when you're just carefree together. Like your first glass of wine together on a Friday night. It feels so good. Or eating breakfast the morning after. The sun is coming through the window. You guys are watching Netflix together. You know, those little moments that make me feel so good. They build me up. And I think that things that drain me would probably be overthinking or overanalyzing. Like, for me, those just kill a relationship. I think that overthinking and overanalyzing will kill any relationship. What movie do you wish life was more like? I actually can't think of a movie. This is really nerdy, but I feel like I've said this before a long, long time ago. I always wanted the world to be more like Overwatch, the game, where we can all be friends and we can fight for something good in the world together. Despite our differences and different backgrounds, I just think it's a really, really cool idea. And there is a YouTube music video called Overfeels, and it always makes me feel really inspired. Stardust asks, what was the thing that made you tear up of laughter? I think it was, like, the most recent thing was probably a YouTube video called Caterpillar Rave. That was really funny. You should definitely watch it. Or there's a cola commercial with a guy on a train, and he just starts laughing, and you can see, like, the other people start to laugh even though they have no idea what's going on. I thought that was really good too. Stardust also asks, do you think the sexual energy you pour into the audios interferes with your sex life, or on the contrary, pushes your imagination pushes your imaginations or desires even more? It's funny, I made that comment a while ago, maybe in a Q&A, I can't remember where. But no, in hindsight, I've had this channel for a while now, and it hasn't changed my sex life or my energy or anything like that. I think that was maybe like a worry of mine for no good reason. Jen says, when I'm walking with a man that I like, I suddenly get a feeling of security. I don't know why. So how does it feel with a woman? I've never really thought about it. I'm usually more interested in the conversation and making sure that she's safe. Like, I've never really thought about the feeling I get from walking with somebody. That being said, I will say that I think that walking or any physical activity is a really, really good idea for a first date, or first few dates. Just to, like, get the blood flowing and have something to do while you're talking, it's a really good idea. Roro asks, since starting the channel, have you learned anything about women that has surprised you? Is there a fantasy or a kink you didn't realize was so common? Yeah, definitely. I didn't know there were so many women that wanted to be domed or were into DDLG, which is cool. That has definitely kind of opened me up to the idea a lot more. Roro also asks, is it easy for you to tell if a partner is faking an orgasm? I want to say 100% yes. Maybe that, like, every guy wants to say that. I totally know. But at the same time, I think I have a very good idea, but I don't know how everybody's body acts. You know, maybe someone has, like, particularly small orgasms. I don't know. But most of the time, yeah, I think I know. I have had experience with people who found it very, very hard to orgasm. And I think if that's the case, then it's okay to talk about, like, talk about it gently, but talk about introducing toys or making those changes in the bedroom that will help them reach orgasm. I will admit, it's really nice when a girl knows exactly what's needed to get her off, but some people are still learning. So I would say to anybody in that situation, don't be shy. Like, I have had a lot of experiences with girls that liked hard sex, and then I've had experiences with a few girls that were like, no, go slower, go gentle. That's what gets them off. And I really appreciate that feedback. So if you're having trouble having an orgasm in bed with your partner, definitely talk to them, work on it together. There's nothing more satisfying than seeing your partner have an orgasm. And I think that a lot of women feel that way about their men too, or their women, you know, whoever your partner is. It's really, really nice to see them having an orgasm with you. Roro also asks, would you rather spend a year living completely alone with no human interaction, or a year where you're never alone? Definitely alone. Like 100% alone. Hopefully in a nice place, but I don't want to be with someone all the time. Like in the bathroom, doing everything. That just sounds horrible. Yeah. Aisha asks, you said in a few videos you would want kids. If you found an amazing girl but she didn't want kids, would that be a deal breaker for you? No, I don't think so. Like, would I be disappointed? Yeah, but nah, we could talk about it. Maybe we could adopt or something. I don't know. Hopefully I don't have to deal with like such a stressful situation, but yeah, maybe it'll happen. We'll see. Baby girl ASMR, well done in school, by the way, asks, would you date a fan? Would you date someone who is a huge fan, as some view it as an unfair advantage? And I guess, like, yeah, you're right. I have talked about this before. I think that I would date somebody who was a fan, but I would be seriously cautious because, yeah, I don't want to be in that situation where I'm taking advantage of someone. And also because people can do really crazy things when they're in love or in a relationship. And it's a bit dangerous, but I think given the right person, yeah, I would do it. Baby girl ASMR also says, what is one thing you see a lot of us comment about you that is a misconception or just wrong? I don't know, actually. Usually people just respond to the audio, but I have seen people say, oh, he definitely has a girlfriend right now, or he is definitely single right now. You know, I can tell based on the audio or how he's talking what his relationship status is, or he's really exhausted right now, or he's really horny in this one. And to be honest, usually it's not that extreme. Like, I've been doing this 2 years, guys. I've been in a relationship since I started the channel. I've been single. Everything in between. Like, honestly, I'm just a regular guy who can feel happy, tired, sad, anxious, overwhelmed, hyper, stupid, all of the above. What is the weirdest place you've ever masturbated? Back of a car, under a blanket with someone else. I don't know if it's risque or not, but it makes me cringe. For the record, yeah, there were people in the car. It was being driven at the time. Olivia says, I have an assumption. You're the type of boyfriend that dry humps your girlfriend from behind while she's doing something and then walks away like nothing happened. Yeah. Guys, you were starting to know me way, way, way too well, but that is definitely one of the joys of being a boyfriend, is just sneaking in a quick hump and going about your business. Christina asks, do you ever find yourself randomly talking to yourself out loud as if you were recording a script, but you're not? Sometimes while I'm writing, but to be honest, I'm pretty quiet when I'm by myself at home. Hi, Dallas. I still don't know if I'm pronouncing that with the right tenses on the right syllables, which feels horrible because I've known you for so long. Hi, Dallas asks, have you ever been rejected for a date or been friend-zoned by a crush? Once, yeah. So it was a girl that I went to university with, and I was so nervous, but I had such a big crush on her. And I don't know why I was so nervous, but I went up and I asked for her number, and she never texted back. But I totally understand, because I was the most awkward person in those like 3 minutes where I asked for her number. Like, I do not hold it against her. It was so cringy that I don't even want to think about it. I think that I've been pretty lucky, all things considered. like more commonly, I've just been in a weird place in a current relationship. Like, I thought that we were supposed to be friends with benefits, but, you know, she decides she wants to have a relationship, or I want a relationship and she just wants to be friends with benefits. I feel like that happens to me a lot, and it's really, really annoying. Also, I'm not going around hitting on girls all the time. So if I ask someone out, I usually have a pretty good idea that they're going to be into it. What was your first job? I worked at McDonald's for like 2 shifts as the burger guy, ironically. But yeah, after that, I can't believe I'm telling you this. After that, my real high school job was working at a fish market and at a pizza place. And I absolutely loved it, taking pizza home all the time. Was Boyfriend Audio the original name that you came up with for the channel? I can't remember. I know that Boyfriend Audio is not very creative, but I couldn't think of anything cool at the time. So there it is. The logo I am happy with, and it was the first one that I came up with, and I love it. And finally, do you take silly selfies with your dog? Yes, that poor girl has to put up with so much. I love her though. I like bugging her when she's sleeping and playing with her paws and pretending she's super ferocious. Aries says, can you please say my name? Aries or Sarah? Yeah, I think that's a very, very pretty name. Olivia asks, what's something you've been searching for in a partner that you have not found yet? Probably a kindred spirit. I think that would be really nice to meet somebody with a kindred spirit, like someone we just understand each other on those levels. Chanel asks, do you actually wear regular boxers? Are they your preferred underwear? If so, is it comfortable wearing them under pants? It seems like a lot of fabric to deal with. I've been wanting to respond to this for like 3 weeks. No, I don't wear boxers. And I can't remember the last time that I wore boxers, probably when I was like 14. I think that unanimously, boxer briefs are superior to boxers. And yeah, you do need some support there. So boxers are not a good idea. Amanda asks, if you could create your own fantasy world and live in it, what would it be like? Probably just like a pretty stereotypical fantasy world. I would have magic and elves and half elves and gnomes and orcs and trolls and dwarves and what else? Like hippogriffs and unicorns. And I don't know. I would have everything. I want all the fantasy stuff in my world. Obviously dragons and like genies and big empires and farmers and I don't know, all the cliches that you find in a fantasy world. I think it would be so cool to be an adventurer in a world like that. Amanda also asks, what advice would you give to someone who's never been in a relationship before? I'm asking for a friend whose expectations are too high, thanks to romance books and listening to your audios. Hey, don't blame me. Don't blame this on me. I read a really good quote recently, find something you love and let it kill you. And well, I'm not saying you should do that. I think that your first relationship is going to be a lot like that. If you've never been in one, you're going to get hurt. It's going to happen, okay? And your partner is going to see you and see things that nobody else has seen before. And you're just going to kind of have to deal with that. And you're going to have all these expectations from books or from movies or from whatever, all these things that are just not going to be realistic. But you have to be willing to get burned and to accept other people's flaws and your own. But I mean, in the end, being alone for a lot of people is worse than, you know, dealing with all the issues of being in a relationship. And I'm just realizing as I say that this is really, it sounds really pessimistic. So there's a lot of good things too, right? Like relationships give you lots of amazing memories. They give you these moments and experiences that you will never get alone. and all of those moments and experiences will help you grow, even the bad ones. There are these moments of pure joy and pleasure and laughter with somebody else that, and closeness, a lot of closeness that you will only get in a relationship. And I think it happens a lot to guys and girls, actually. Like when I was living in some other countries, I met a lot of girls with very high expectations about, you know, what they wanted in a guy, material expectations. And there was just no way that a local guy, no matter how hard he worked, could ever provide that. So I noticed that there were so many people in these big cities like Singapore, Tokyo, Shanghai, Taipei, that were like 30, around 30, and single and lonely. And like not as much at home, but yeah, it does happen a lot. And maybe that means they're living their best life, but for a lot of people, it seemed like they were lonely and it felt like they were missing out on something. So that is a very long answer, but yeah, I think having expectations that are too high can really, really hurt you. And I think that settling is also, like we've talked about that before, settling is not a good thing either. Anyways, next question. 1010 Deseratin says, what is something you wish other people knew while in bed or while doing the deed? I can only speak from one heterosexual male's perspective, so take that with a grain of salt. But I think a general piece of advice is that guys' sexuality is tied to their emotional state, probably almost as much as women. If he feels sad or angry or not heard at home or never gets any sexual advances from you, he's probably not going to do it either. So, you know, tell your partner they're doing good. Be there for them. Fuck them randomly around the house sometimes. Fuck them on the sofa for no reason. And that advice goes to guys too. And as for specific advice, I would say play with their balls more. It feels really good. But I would turn this question around on you. What do you want more in bed? Doritos says, this might sound weird, but are you an uncle? Kind of, not really. Like, my sister doesn't have kids, but I've got a billion little cousins, and I've got eight girl cousins and second cousins, most of which are just hitting that age where they're on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and I'm definitely worried that they will listen to these. So if you're listening, turn this off and go do your homework and be responsible. Okay, I don't want to think about this. Anyways, that's all the questions posted under the last Q&A, I think, or I got most of them. So thank you guys for everything, and I hope you have a great week. I love y'all. Bye-bye.